start though, I just want to say, I went to Foundation on Tuesday for the first time. I literally ran out of work right as I could, but it was incredible. Like what Sammy and David and all of their guys are doing there is phenomenal. The fact that they've got these kids who are sitting around in circles and sharing about their week and talking about what it means to be joyous in hard situations, like that doesn't happen in a park, but that's what God is doing in our local park. So if you're able to, come along between 4 and 6. I'm going to try to be there as well. Race out of work, but be there. It's incredible. God stirred something in my heart on Tuesday. Tuesday at McLeod Park. Anyway, awesome. So I'm really pumped about this tonight. In biblical studies with my year ones, we were talking about Samuel and Saul. And I really felt like God just pressed this on my heart deeper and said, just go back, go back, go back. Kind of like go back to the well and keep drinking from it. So tonight I'm talking about Samuel and Saul. But before we get into it, I've just got a quick video to show you guys. Whoever that parent is, honestly, they are parent of the year. I applaud them for videoing their child just stacking it and failing. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, if I was that parent, I'd be like, come on, no, you don't want to do that. You're going to slip over. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to make a big mess. No, no, don't do it. You're doing it. Okay. No, no, kid, just really listen to me. Don't do it. No. You did it. That's what I think the parent was thinking. And I really think, as it said in there, God kind of looks at us like that sometimes as well. He goes, here is what I have for you. I have this great life for you. I have greater than what you can think and imagine. You just need to listen, follow me. And what do? We think we know best. We take the crown off God's head, we put it on our own and go, God, I got this. Then we slip over on our bums and make a big mess. Has anyone else done that? Yeah, I'm not the only one. Awesome. So I was thinking about this, and I know in my own life there's been countless times where God has prompted me to do something or he's put something in my heart and I've gone, yeah, God, I want this. I'm going to pursue this. I know what's best. I'm going to do this for me. And every single time I end up missing out. I end up on the worst end of it all. And I really think God goes, you know what? I have greater for you if you listen, if you obey, and you keep me as king. Now, I was thinking about this with my students. I've got some little chatterboxes, and I always line them up before they come into the classroom. I have two lines, a boy line and girl line. Yes, we do that at Pacific Hills, boy line and girl line. It's great. And then what I do is I get them to stop, to look, and to listen. If they don't stop and look and listen, they stay there. If they stop, look, and listen, I let them come into the classroom. Essentially, I literally don't even talk to them. I just go, you can go. You can't, no. You can go. It's honestly, I feel like God sometimes. It's fantastic. But I was thinking about it, and I'm like, I wonder if God does that to us as well. If you're listening to me, come into all the greater. If you're not listening, I'm going to keep you there for a while. And I know for myself, I don't want to stay where I am. I want to experience God's greater for me and for my life. If that means I have to stop, look, and listen, I'm going to stop, look, and listen. But yeah, God puts his hand on us and blesses us when we listen and obey. When we don't, he actually stops us and puts his hand against us. So my title tonight, if you're taking notes, is Don't Disobedience. Ooh, it's sunk in. Hey, play on words. I love it. So I'm speaking from 1 Samuel. I'm just going to quickly recap what happened with the Israelites and with God. Briefly talked about Genesis, but this is like God's people continuing on. So the Israelites. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Egypt was governed by Pharaoh. Pharaoh is this bad dude, keeping them captive and just holding them against their will, and essentially. God set them free from there. He actually brought them into the greater, brought them into the promised land. But before the promised land, they went through the wilderness for 40 years. Now, if I was in the wilderness for 40 years, I know I would, you know, push my feet down and make a bit of a mess and cry out a little bit. And that's what the Israelites did. They were walking along and they go, oh, we have no food. God, why have you forsaken us? I would rather be in Egypt where there's meat and water and, you know, the Pharaoh, but I'd rather be in Egypt. But God provides the manna for them. He provides every single thing they need, everything that they're needing during that time, God provides. But still, they disobey him. Still, they go against him. Still, they don't listen. But God still provides. So there's like turbulent history between Israelites and God where they listen during victory, they're praising God during victory. But when it's a hard time, when it's trouble season, when something's going down, they actually turn their back against God. They go, God, you don't know what you're talking about. We know what's best for us. And we're going to now make these gold statues of calves. We're now going to go and do this and idolize this person or this thing because they know better. They can rule us and govern us, but you can't. So this, it happens again and again and again. It's kind of like a washing machine. Put the dirty clothes in, you wash them, then you bring them out, put the dirty clothes back in. They did the same thing, repeating and repeating. So in victory, the Israelites worshipped God, obeyed God, placed God as king. When they struggled, they turned their backs against him. They disobeyed him as well. Now, during this time, men couldn't have a relationship with God. It was more so that God spoke through prophets. There were so many prophets before this time, but during 1 Samuel, the prophet was Samuel, which is easy to remember. So the people didn't have a personal relationship with God. God didn't speak directly to them, but he spoke through prophets. So in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3 to 4, I'm reading from the Message version. It says, then Samuel addressed the house of Israel. If you are truly serious about coming back to God, clean house. Get rid of the foreign gods and fertility goddesses. Ground yourselves firmly in God. Worship him and him alone, and he'll save you from the Philistine oppression. So the Israelites did it. They got rid of the gods and goddesses, the images of Baal and Ashtoreth, and gave their exclusive attention and service to God. So Israel experienced God greater when they did this. They obeyed and they worshipped God. He actually sent this great thunder, which terrified the Philistines. They ran off and the Israelites were able to defeat some of them. They experienced God's greater when they obeyed and when they listened to God. But like the wash cycle, it kind of stopped there again. The Israelites very soon demanded a king to rule over them. They went to Samuel and said, Samuel, you're old, you're gray, you don't know anything anymore. Your sons aren't doing anything. We want a king to rule over us. In 1 Samuel chapter 8 to 4 to 5. So it says, fed up, all the elders of Israel got together and confronted Samuel at Ramah. They presented their case. Look, you're an old man and your sons aren't following in your footsteps. Here's what we want you to do. Appoint a king to rule us just like everybody else. So they were looking at other nations and saw that they had a man, they had someone to rule over them. And they thought, they have someone to rule over them. We need a man to rule over us. God doesn't know what he's doing. We want someone to rule us, to guide us, to fight for us in our battles. Now, Samuel goes to God and says, God, like, what do I do? They've rejected me. They don't want me anymore. And God said to Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They're rejecting me yet again. They continue to reject me and want other things. So even after Samuel describes to the Israelites what this king will do, what they will inflict on them, they continue to seek and ask for a ruler to be over them, a king to rule over them. So Samuel did that. Just a video now, because, you know, we love videos tonight. This video is all about Samuel and Saul and just recaps the whole thing. And I'm sorry if you're offended because it's like aimed at you ones, but I thought it was really funny. So enjoy.
So God gave them what they were asking for. He had Samuel pick a guy named Saul, who was really tall and really impressive. And he became Israel's king.
So Samuel went and crowned a king, a feller named Saul. His royal look was just the thing, and man, that guy was tall. His arms were strong, his hair was thick. He whooped the Philistines right quick. King Saul, they cried, is mighty slick. We're glad that he succeeded. A king is what we needed.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad.
Nope, that worked out pretty well.
At first it did, but then they bumped into an issue.
King Saul wasn't always good at doing what God asked him to do. Sometimes Samuel would tell him what God wanted him to do, and he would do the exact opposite. Saul was a big, strong, brave guy, but when it came to following God, he was a failure. Saul said, "Look at all the impressive things I've done, the battles I've won, all the sheep and cattle I've captured from our enemies." But Saul had forgotten that God doesn't want us to be impressive. He wants us to be obedient. He doesn't want to hear excuses. He wants us to listen to his voice and do what he says. Since Saul hadn't done that, the crown couldn't stay in his family. God was going to find a new king for Israel, a man who would do whatever God asked, no matter what. A man after God's own heart.
So there was a version that did this little song at the end, but I was like, no, I won't bore you with that. But that's essentially like a great summary, a revision of Samuel and Saul. So it says in the Bible that Saul was a head taller than everyone else. He was the most handsome man in the world. Now, from what I've learnt with my year ones is that, you know, people look at the appearance, God actually looks at the heart. So it's interesting that the Bible says he was a head taller, he was so handsome, but it's like, that's not what God is looking for. That's what the people were looking for. So God provided this ruler and this king of the people for what they wanted. They want a big, tall, strong man to lead them, to fight for them, to lead them in battles. But really what God wanted for them was greater than that. He wanted a man of his own heart. So in the beginning of Saul, he begins to see God's greater over his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, it talks about how Saul goes out looking for these three lost donkeys. So he was obeying his father. His father sent him out. He's obeying his father, listening to essentially one of the Ten Commandments, to obey your mother and father, and you'll see the great blessing over your life. So he was obeying God. He went searching for these donkeys in the middle of nowhere. They were walking around for ages. And then because he obeyed God, he actually experienced a divine appointment, a divine moment. During this time of looking for the donkeys, Saul met Samuel. And before Saul and Samuel met, God said, "I'm going to send you a guy," said this to Samuel, "I'm going to send you a guy and you're going to anoint him as king over Israel." So when they meet, Samuel anointed Saul as king because he obeyed God's commandments. Saul was this humble, servant-hearted guy that didn't worry about what he was doing, didn't worry about what people were saying about him, but worried more so about what God was saying. Be obedient to God's word and to even his parents as well. In Samuel chapter 11, verse 12 to 13, the people came to Samuel then and said, this is when he's been anointed. And then it says, "Where are those men who said, 'Saul is not fit to rule over us? Hand them over. We'll kill them.' But Saul said, 'Nobody is going to be executed this day. This is the day God saved Israel. Come, let's go to Gilgal and there reconsecrate the kingship.'" So during this time, God had once again given Israelites the greater. They'd experienced the greater because their new king was obeying God. And when these people came to Saul and said, who are these men that said you wouldn't be able to do this? Saul didn't flutter an eyelid. He didn't care about what these people had said about him. He didn't care about the ideas of what they had. But all he worried about, all he sought for was God. Going, "God, this is your glory. You did this. This is yours and none of my own." So Saul during this time was humble. He was servant-hearted. He was seeking God and obeying God. He ignored the haters, all the haters. He gave God all the glory for the success in the battle. So Saul placed God as king. Saul experienced God greater in his life because he was obedient and he put God as king. He gave the honor and the glory to God. Now, in the middle part of this story, we begin to see about how you experience God's greater. So Samuel begins to speak to the Israelites. This is when he's getting a lot older and Saul's taken over reign. And then he says to the Israelites, "What have I done? Have I wronged anyone? Have I caused you any harm or grief?" And the Israelites said, "As God is our witness, no, you've done nothing wrong." And so then Samuel turns to him and says, "That's right, I haven't done anything, but right now I'm going to tell you what God has done for you. He took you out of Egypt. He set you free. He's actually given you the greater, even though a lot of the time you didn't deserve it, even though you didn't obey God, even though you didn't seek God through it all. God did all of that." So in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11 to 13, so God sent Jerubbaal, Bedin, or Barack Obama, as I practiced last night, Samuel, he saved you from that hard life surrounded by enemies, and you lived in peace. But when you saw Nahash, king of the Ammonites, preparing to attack you, you said to me, 'No more of this. We want a king to lead us.' And God was already your king." God was already their king. So here's the king you wanted, the king you asked for. God has let you have your own way, given you a king, and a king that they would have desired nonetheless. Samuel continues on and details to the Israelites how they will see the greater in their life. So in verse 14, "If you fear God, worship and obey him, and don't rebel against what he tells you, if both you and your king follow God, no problem. God will be sure to save you. But if you don't obey him and rebel against what he tells you, king or no king, you will fare no better than your fathers." Now, I was reading both Message and NIV, and I thought that NIV, that verse was really, really interesting. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reign over you follow the Lord your God, good. What's a synonym for good? Great. Greater. But if you do not obey the Lord and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you, as it was against your ancestors. So I was thinking about that, and back to my ones, I was like, if my ones aren't listening to me, my hand goes up against them. You can wait. Stay there. Stop. Look at me and listen to what I'm saying. If you're listening, off you go into the greater, the air conditioning. Off you go into outside, whatever it is. But the greater is before you when you stop, when you look, and when you listen. At the end of that video, we start to hear about how Saul began to miss God's greater. He began to do things that actually stopped and prevented him from seeing God's greater in his life. So just as Saul was anointed by Samuel to be king and rule over the Israelites, this is jumping back a little bit, sorry to confuse you at all, but he gave him some clear instructions. It says, remember, God didn't speak to everyone. He actually spoke through prophets. So God speaking to Samuel was God speaking to Saul as well. So in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5 to 8, it says, "When these confirming signs are accomplished," this is Samuel talking to Saul, "you'll know that you're ready. Whatever job you're given to do, do it. God is with you. Now go to Gilgal and I will follow. I'll come down and join you in worship by sacrificing burnt offerings and peace offerings. Wait 7 days. Then I'll come and tell you what to do next." So God said to Saul, whatever you do, you will succeed in it. Whatever you do, I am there with you. Whatever your hand touches, I will bless that. But only if you obey me. Only if you listen to my commands and keep me as king in your life. So God gave him these really strict things. Pretty simple to follow, I guess. But Saul, like many other biblical characters that we've heard about, and we'll hear about, I'm sure, with the videos we'll be watching, he became arrogant. He believed the victory was all on his own. So many people talked about how he had ruled them, he had reigned them, he had led them into victorious battles. That was Saul doing it. He was a mighty, strong, head taller than everyone, handsome man. That was Saul. It was all about Saul. And so Saul became arrogant. He took the crown of God's head, put it on his own, and said, I know best. I know how to do this. So later in that chapter, Saul then blows a trumpet, placing Israel in a battle with the Philistines. In verse 4 it says, and now Israel has become obnoxious to the Philistines. So Israel is sent into battle. All of Saul's soldiers come up to him. They gather, they round up, they're ready to fight. And then they realize what's happened. They realize that this man that they're following, this king they're following, is merely a man. They realize that they've actually rejected God. And because of that, they may not be able to see the greater. So what happens is the Israelites, the men start to panic. They begin to flee. They hide into bushes, go across seas, everything to get away. And then Saul panics. He goes, I need favor over my life so that we can succeed in this. I need God to come in and intervene. How can I do that? I'll sacrifice something to him. I'll honor him with burning something, and I can do it so we can then have favor and see the greater. So he then sacrifices something that Samuel had said not to do, that Samuel would do that. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11 to 13, Samuel said, what on earth are you doing? Saul answered, when I saw I was losing my army from under me and they hadn't come, when you said you would and that the Philistines were poised at Michmash, I said, the Philistines are about to come down on me in Gilgal, and I haven't yet come before God asking for his help. So I took things into my own hands and sacrificed the burnt offering. That was a foolish thing to do, Samuel said to Saul. If you had kept the appointment that your God commanded, by now God would have set a firm and lasting foundation under your kingly rule over Israel. As it is, your kingly rule is already falling to pieces. God is already out looking for your replacement right now. This time, he'll do the choosing. When he finds him, he'll appoint him leader of his people, and all because you didn't keep your appointment with God. You didn't listen and obey. So Saul saw the greater that God had over his life when he obeyed God. When he actually listened to God, when he was obedient to the word that God had given him, he saw victory. He saw battles being won. He saw all of these things. The Philistines thundering and running in fear. He saw that when he and his people worshipped and obeyed God. However, Saul's arrogance, his fear of men, his fear of what's going to happen if I don't win this, got the better of him. He stopped obeying God's word. He stopped obeying what God said in his commandments. He removed God from the center of his life, took the crown of God's head and put it onto his own. And because of that, God's hand was against Saul. Instead of blessing what Saul was doing, God put his hand up against and he didn't actually at all. So when Saul idolized himself, he took the crown of his head and idolized himself, saying, I'm better, I know what's going to happen. The Israelites did the exact same thing. They idolized gold statues, like, it doesn't make any sense. But in our own lives, we do that as well. We take the crown of God's head, as did that kid, and we slip over, we make a mess of things. But that's because we idolize other things. We don't listen, we don't obey. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 to 23, then Samuel said, do you think all God wants are sacrifices, empty rituals just for show? He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing, not staging a lavish religious production. Not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. Because you said no to God's command, he says no to your kingship. So God's greater was experienced by Saul. But also, Saul stopped himself from experiencing God's greater in his life. Saul was human. He stuffed up. I've stuffed up. We've all stuffed up. He removed the crown from God's head and placed it on his own. There are so many examples in the Bible where men and women stuff up and do the exact same thing time and time again. Moses would have seen the promised land if he obeyed God. Jonah wouldn't have been swallowed by a giant whale if he had listened to God. So I wonder what greater each of these people would have experienced if they had stopped, if they'd looked to God, and if they had listened. Those who obeyed God and made God king, like Noah and Joseph, despite the haters, despite the tough seasons, despite all of these situations arising, they obeyed God and they saw and experienced the greater in their life. I really believe that we all will experience the greater when we stop and we look and we listen to God as well. And the last couple of times I've had the opportunity to preach, God's done this thing which I've just realized preparing for this sermon. But the first time, 2 times ago, I just had this like block. I couldn't think of anything to talk about. Nothing was coming up. It was coming like days coming up to it. And I was like, God, what's going on? I need something, anything, whatever it is, like potato, anything. But God actually put something in my heart and he goes, I've already told you to do something and you haven't. You've listened to me, but you haven't obeyed me. Go and do what I told you to do. And what he told me was this word for someone that I thought was a bit ho-hum. I was like, oh, I don't think they won't miss it, really. But God reminded me, prompted me again, go and do what I told you to do. So I quickly sent this message to this friend of mine. And then literally as soon as I sent it, it was kind of like this block, this wall just crumbled. And this word, God put this word in my heart. And I was like, ah. Oh. Obeying God is good. Cool, 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 cool. So then I got my message ready. I preached it and it was awesome. And then the last time, the exact same thing happened. And I was like, God, seriously, this is ridiculous. But he had something in my heart for a while and I hadn't dealt with it. And God was like, you know what you have to do? Go and do it. If you don't, you won't see the greater. And so I messaged a mentor of mine and said, hey, I really need to talk to you about something. I actually want to pray about something, have some ministry. And as soon as I messaged them, because I knew they would follow me up and, you know, keep me accountable, which is great. But as soon as I messaged them, it's kind of like a piece of the wall fell down. And then that the next day I met with them, we chatted about some stuff, we prayed about it. And I went back and I was like, wow, I've got a word. I've got something. This is awesome. And then God did the exact same thing. If you obey me, you'll see the greater. And so I realized that. And then I preached my message and it was awesome and it was great. But because of that, like it was God doing it. It was nothing of me. In my own strength, I was looking at a blank piece of paper. But God prompted me and I was obedient. So if the band could come up, that would be awesome. In our own lives, we can place different things as king in our world. Other people, their opinions, their ideas, we can place them as king. We focus on them and what they're thinking or what they're doing or what they have and what we don't have. That can become the focus of our lives. That can be our desire and what we're searching for and what we wake up to in the morning. In our lives, we can also place ourselves as king. Saul was so arrogant, thinking that all that he did was because of him. But in reality, God said, you do whatever your hand touches. Whatever you do, I'll bless that. Everything that Saul experienced was because of God. But we can also put things or objects, idols, as king in our life. So Saul and the Israelites did all of these things. And I know my own life, I've done all of these things as well. I've seen what someone else has in their season and I've gone, God, why don't I have that? Why can't I experience that yet? But God goes, stop, look and listen to me. God wants us to obey him and place him at the top of our lives. He wants us to give him the crown. Not because he just wants us to do everything he says, but it's because he has greater for us. There's a verse in the Bible that says what God thinks is greater than what we think. What God imagines greater than what we can imagine. Everything that God does is greater. And we can see the greater if we allow him to move. But in our own lives as well, we can disobey obedience. So many times I've been prompted by God to do something and I've gone, obedience is like 2001. I don't do that anymore. I know what I need to do. This is challenging for me. I don't want to talk to someone about this. This is something I haven't talked about for a long time. I don't want to message someone because what if they look at me and they go, oh, that's so lame. But God says, look and listen to me. I wonder what greater we can see when we stop, when we look to God and when we listen, when we're obedient to God's word and keep him as king. So as the band plays, we have a little bit of time, but I'd really love if we can spend some time just checking our hearts, checking where God is in our life, whether he's on the throne or whether we've placed something or someone else up there. Also, I really believe that God's going to do something tonight. He might give you a word for yourself. He might prompt you to talk to someone else. Can I encourage you? Be obedient. There's greater on the other side of obedience. I just wonder what God's got for us when we do that. So can you guys stand with me? And let's spend some time just allowing God to minister to our hearts, to realign where our hearts are, and to look to him.